Ross Code Weekly number 42. I'm Joel Ross, rosscode.com, coming to you from the old studios here in the Ross household. Still in Spring Lake, Michigan, but not in the dungeon as I've been for the past few weeks. Mainly because the family is in bed, and I record a little earlier in the night, and the family is still up. I tend to go down to the dungeon where I can get a little privacy, as I think my wife went down the first time in a couple of years. So I pretty much get down there and I'm all by myself. So, but tonight they're all in bed, so I'm able to go back to the old studio and get some recording done here. So, not a huge week. I don't even have any rumors for you this week. No Grapevine. It's amazing. First time it's ever happened, I think. So, should be a quick show, although I say that, and sometimes I say it's going to be a long show, and it's a short one. So, anyway, if you have any feedback, let me know. You can send me an email at weekly@rosscode.com, or you can leave me a voicemail, 206-4244-RC-DUB. That's 4729 at the end. Not a local call, unless you're in Seattle, but you can still leave a voicemail. I'll get you on the show. I guess with that, thanks for taking the time to download and listen. I hope it's worth your time. And with that, let's get started. Previously on Ross Code Weekly, a couple of follow-ups here. Memorandum, whatever you want to call it. The software by Gabe Rivera, I believe is his name. He has now powering a baseball news site. It's called Ball Bug, although I guess right now you probably could call it Needle Watch. That's all that they've been talking about with baseball is the whole steroid things and Barry Bonds. And there was an interesting thing about Barry Bonds recently as you're driving up to, I'm going to call it Candlestick Park. I think it's AT&T ballpark now, but it's still Candlestick in my mind. There was a sign that said Trade Barry, and that's all it said. Said that for a little while, and turns out I know somebody who actually lives in the San Francisco area, and it made the news out here that there's a big sign that said Trade Barry, but actually what it came down to is when you pulled off the covers on that sign, it actually said behind it, a baseball card trading company. So what they were talking about was trading Barry's baseball card, not actually trading Barry, although they did get quite a bit of press from that. Anyway, rumor is that games have started, although you wouldn't know that with all the steroid rumors. So if you're into baseball, you should check out Ballbug. It's a memorandum-powered site, and looks to be pretty good. TiVo, the Series 2 upgrade is no more, and the Series 3 is alive and kicking. So the dual tuner disappeared from Amazon, the one that had the 180 hours that we talked about last week. That is now gone. You cannot pre-order it anymore. Looks like it's going to be scrapped. But the Series 3 did get approval from Cable Labs. Now, if you don't know who Cable Labs is, they are the ones who will approve any box that's going to be certified to use with a cable card. So that means the Series 3 is now cable card compliant, which means you can get rid of your cable boxes and just put your cable card directly into the TiVo when the Series 3 comes out, which is expected to be sometime later this year. This week's news and views. All right, Google's launched a new service. Surprise, surprise, it's in beta. It's called Google Related, and what it does is it shows you pages that are similar to the page that you're on. So, I don't know if you've ever done a search on Google before. Apparently, it's a pretty big search engine. You can go out there and you can do a search, and there'll be a little link that says like related pages. This is the type of information they're going to deliver to you. You put some JavaScript in your page, and then when somebody loads that page, it goes out, looks at Google, grabs it, says here's the related stuff, drops it in your page. Now, a couple problems with this. You can't really put it in a lot of blogging templates. The post that I found this in, he tried to put it in a WordPress template. It didn't work, so that will slow the adoption. It looks pretty big to me, although I suppose it could be. You can make it a little smaller depending on what you want. So I think I'm gonna try it out and throw it on the top of my blog and just see what it looks like, see what it comes up with. Maybe I'll be a little surprised about who's related to me according to Google. Google and Clear Channel are gonna team up for web search and ads. So Google will provide Clear Channel with text-based ads for all of their networks as well as search, it sounds like, and then in the future this could extend to the radio, so you could hear Google ads on Clear Channel stations. Now Google already is putting in some of their ads on NPR, mainly for Google Jobs, You can hear those on NPR, National Public Radio, if you're not from the U.S. But looks like you'll be able to hear them on Clear Channel in the future. Microsoft has been talking about malware, and basically their opinion is, just go ahead and reload. They're saying that businesses should take the time to invest in an automated way to reload a user's machine because it is more cost-effective than trying to remove the malware using something like Microsoft anti-spyware or any other ones they're saying. Basically, rootkits and some of the spyware get so embedded into the operating system that it's impossible to take them out. I think a lot of people saw that with the whole Sony rootkit disaster, and people were saying that it was easier to just go ahead and remove that, remove the whole operating system and start over than it was to try to get rid of it. And as a matter of fact, trying to uninstall it, even with some of the instructions on how to uninstall it, left the operating system pretty unstable. So even if you think you got rid of it, you may have lingering effects later on. And Microsoft is saying, just go ahead and reload it. As a matter of fact, that's how I load my laptop. We have ghost images that give us the base for everything we need for our laptops. And that's how I do it. So I can reload every 6 to 9 months if I want to. And it really isn't that bad for me to do that. Moving my data around, that's a little bit of a pain, but I do have 2 hard drives now, so I can go ahead and do that. So I am in agreement with Microsoft, and typically if a family member gets this, that's what I recommend too. MSN Local has added a send-to-phone capability. Now, this has been on Yahoo for about a year. Basically, it sends you a link, and then you can click on that from your phone. Click on your phone, however you do that. You can then go ahead and get your local results. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's done on MSN Local when they have a Windows Live Local. And supposedly, everything is being moved over to Live, and MSN is going to probably, in the future, be, well, let's just say outed, and Live will be the way to go. But this is being launched on MSN Local, which is kind of interesting. MSNBC is going to be offering free mobile news, which includes videos, ads, re-ad supported, and the ads will include 15-second pre-roll spots as well as banner display ads. For the next 3 months, while they're going through their beta period, Windows Mobile will be the exclusive sponsor, but after that they're going to open it up to other advertisers. It does require an installed application, and they're working with phones to be able to install that. CBS is doing something similar to this, but it's a premium service, which means it's 99 cents a month. Not like it's that costly, but free is a whole different ballgame than something that costs money. So I would expect to see others follow suit as a result of MSNBC's move. That's sort of a Microsoft move, so we'll stick with Microsoft here. And Halo 3 is going to be out in March of 07. Now, hopefully this won't get pushed back at all, but if this does stay in March of 07, a couple things happen here. First, it could provide a good backdrop for a plot for the next Halo movie, which is supposed to be out that summer. And the other thing it does is it puts a lot of pressure on Sony, because if that date slips for the PlayStation 3, which a lot of people are thinking that it will, it's supposed to be out in November, and then shortly they're just going to do a quick subsequent releases throughout the rest of the world. Obviously, Sony releases in Japan first and then goes to the rest of the world. If it doesn't get to the US until January or February or even March, worst case for Sony. If it doesn't get here till then, and the price point is higher, which we'll talk about that in a little bit, this could be a significant chance for Microsoft to use Halo 3 as a stepping stone to get people to buy the Xbox 360, bundle them together, and help drive more of their market share away from Sony. CNET is rolling out what they're calling College Live. It's part of the web shots. It's basically where you put your photos online. And what this is you will have, it's going to be focused on pictures and events from a college. So you have like a college address, like a college webpage. They'll have shots, pictures, and events going on around that school. And a lot like Facebook, it is looking, you have to have an EDU email address. So it's exclusive. Although, I'm not sure how exclusive, because I still have my email address and I graduated seven years ago. So, not exactly sure how exclusive that is. Delicious, they've rolled out an import tool, so it works with Firefox, IE, Safari, Opera, and anything that uses a Netscape standard. And they can automatically apply popular tags to those URLs. So, whenever they look at a URL, I don't know if you've ever bookmarked with Delicious, but when you do, it gives you options for these are the popular tags for this page, and it recommends those. That's what it's going to can apply those automatically, and to protect your safety, because we all know you have bookmarks that you don't want to share with everybody, they're going to make all of these private, not shared, and then you can share them later, which they encourage you to do. AOL, they are changing their name. They will now be known as AOL. No more will they be known as America Online. They said they've already gotten America Online, and that job is over. And apparently, they've gotten America Online, and now everybody's moved from them, so they don't want to be known as America Online. They have lost 25% of their subscribers since 2002. So that's a pretty big drop when you consider what AOL used to be compared to what they are now. A couple of birthdays here. First, Gmail. They turned 2. I think it was actually on March 31st, 2004 that Gmail launched, and everybody assumed that it was an April Fool's joke because they were offering a gig, and if that seems pretty standard now. It's actually up to, I think, 2.8 gigs now, but if you remember at the time, if you had an early Yahoo address, you had 6 megs of space, and I had 6. New ones only had 4, and then I think MSN gave, or Hotmail, gave you 3 megs of space, and nobody really gave you more than 10 unless you were paying for it. And then I think Yahoo, you could pay and get 20, maybe 200 megs, I'm not sure. But Gmail said, you know what, let's go with a gig and with the goal of being unlimited. And they've pretty much done that. And there's a few people who fill it up. Adam Curry is one of them. There's a couple other ones that get, but basically you got to get a lot of MP3s or a lot of pictures and stuff like that if you want to fill it up. But Gmail started that revolution back 2 years ago now, and Apple, they have turned 30. If you don't know anything about Apple, obviously you should know something because they've got the Mac, but they are now 15,000 employees strong and do about $14 billion in revenue per year. So Apple is doing fairly well, although still have a fairly small market share. And anyway, they've turned 30. The Cold Wars. Alright, sticking with Apple here, we just talked about their birthday. Well, during their birthday celebration, they rolled out what they're calling Boot Camp. Now, this allows Intel-based Macs to dual boot, basically. So they can now boot Windows XP. You have to have a Windows XP install disk, which Apple says they will not be selling. But this is offered in public beta. You can get it, you can download it, use it for free. They're saying it will be built into Leopard, which is 10.5 of the OS 10 operating system, which they are previewing in August. And who knows how long it'll be till that's released, but it is going to be built into the operating system, and there's a lot of people who are happy about this, which to some is signaling that a lot of people are happy to be on Intel Mac, but would rather be running Windows. And in basically, Apple is saying, we have superior hardware to Windows, so why not let you run Windows with our superior hardware? But I still don't get the whole superior hardware. They're more expensive, so I guess they would. But if I just want to buy a Windows machine, wouldn't it be better off buying a machine that's dedicated to running Windows? Speaking of running Windows, Microsoft has made Virtual Server free, so the Enterprise Edition. I don't know if the Standard Edition is free or not, but I can't see too many people paying for it when they can get the Enterprise Edition for free. And this is following a move that VMware did. They basically made their Enterprise Virtual Server equivalent free, so Microsoft is following suit. They said they've planned it all along. It's going to be built into Vista Server, so if you're going to get it free then, why not just get it free now? Although it still seems it's kind of like an answer to VMware. MapQuest has launched a voice assistant for your phone, so if you have a Verizon or Sprint Nextel phone, you can basically get some sort of voice assistant for your directions. No real details on this yet, other than they think it will cost between $3 and $4 a month. It would be nice if this used GPS on your phone, so a lot of phones have GPS built into them. It would be nice if it could use that information to pick up where you are and give you voice directions based on that. Now, one interesting thing that I hadn't seen from any of the other mapping services, MapQuest says they have 40 million users right now, so that's a pretty hefty chunk when you consider how many people are actually on the net right now. That's a good, significant amount of people using their mapping. Let's talk about movies for a little while. Studios. a bunch of them have agreed to do DVD download simul-releases, so whenever the DVD is released, you can also go ahead and download it. But right now, it will only be used for PC viewing. This is through MovieLink and another one for Cinema Now. And with MovieLink, you can burn a backup copy. You can also keep it on up to 3 computers, but it will only play in your PC DVD player. It will not play on a TV. TV viewing is expected to be a few months out. They're still figuring out the DRM with that. New releases under MovieLink will be $20 to $30, a little higher than the cost of the DVD, so I'm not quite sure what advantage you're getting out of this, since you can't even watch it on TV unless you've got a media center and you can stream it through like the Xbox Extender or something like that. Catalog items, $10 to $16, it's pretty much the same as DVDs. Now if you don't want a catalog item, it's basically it's a non-new release. Cinema Now, they're going to be $10 to $20 for new releases, which is in line with what a DVD costs, but you're not allowed to burn it or move it to another computer. And remember, these are big downloads, so they take typically, even on a fairly high-speed connection, about an hour to download. Last week we talked about Cablevision's plan to give a server-based DVR to their customers. Well, Time Warner Cable and Comcast have both come out and said, we like it, and if it works, we will probably follow suit. Time Warner, I believe, even said, we have the infrastructure in place, we just never rolled it out. But if Cablevision gets away with it, we can get away with it. And Comcast said, oh yeah, we're on board too. So if you're using Time Warner or Comcast, then you're not quite out of luck if you're liking the idea of a server-based DVR. Now if you're using Charter like I am, well, we'll have to wait to see what happens with them. NBC Universal is going to be offering shows on demand for Comcast subscribers. So Comcast had the same type of deal with CBS. And basically what they're going to do is NBC Universal through Comcast will sell popular shows starting in May. So they'll be 99 cents a piece. They'll be available as early as midnight after their broadcast. But the cool thing about this is if you're into the late night, the daytime, or some of their cable shows, because this isn't just NBC, you know, NBC channel, this is NBC Universal, which includes like USA Network and some of those things. A lot of those shows will actually be free. Toshiba has launched their first HD DVD player. It's in Japan. It's the HD XA1. It's $940. And because there's no real movies out with it, they are bundling it with Resident Evil and Moonlight Jellyfish. Haven't heard of Moonlight Jellyfish, and I wouldn't be a big fan of Resident Evil. So that bundle's not for me. Of course, I'm not in Japan either. They're still planning an April US launch, which, if I'm not mistaken, that's this month. The same model that's selling for $940 in Japan is expected to sell for $799 in the US. And they're going to be offering the HD-A1, which does not have the X in it, so it is not as good, for $499. Speaking of movie rentals, which HD DVD is supposed to cost more, you're supposed to be able to rent them. I believe Netflix has even mentioned that they will supply them. Blockbuster, don't plan on it online. They're being sued by Netflix. Now, who knows? There's a lot of words saying this will just be thrown out, but based on a couple of patents that Netflix has received, they're going to sue Blockbuster. The first one is a patent on how you can manage a queue of movies online. This was issued to Netflix in 2003, and they're saying Blockbuster is doing the same thing. And then the second one is a patent that they just got a couple days ago, and it has to do with keeping online rentals for as long as the user wants without paying late fees, and then being able to return those at any time without paying late fees. So Blockbuster, if they are sued for this, this could be a big, if they actually win, this could be a big problem for Blockbuster. Not so much the no late fees, because they could say, well, okay, we won't do unlimited, we'll do 2 years or something crazy way out there like that. But not being able to maintain a queue of movies that you want. Every time you send a movie back, you gotta wait till they actually get the movie back, and then you've gotta be able to go in and pick the next movie you want. So that could be a problem unless Blockbuster can somehow figure out a way around it or a new way of doing it. But a battle going on between Netflix and Blockbuster. Now remember, Blockbuster could have bought Netflix for $50 million 2 or 3 years ago. Good move not doing that, Blockbuster. PlayStation 3 pricing was revealed, sort of. It's coming from somebody in the France office, and they're saying it's going to be between 4.99 and 5.99 euros. Now, if you're not up on your euros to US dollar conversions, that's 613 to 736 US dollars. But before you go, holy crap, that's an expensive PlayStation 3. Remember, the Xbox sells for 399 euros in Europe and $399 in the US. So we could be looking at a 499 or 599 PlayStation 3, which is still more expensive than the Xbox, but not quite as bad. 30 Boxes, the calendar application, has been adding TV listings. So if you have ever used Evoke TV, which I just started doing a little bit, I watch way too much TV, so it's nice to be able to see what's coming up. You can now integrate that with your 30 Boxes account, and based on the RSS feeds from your Evoke TV, they will add those shows to your calendar automatically. If you are an Alexa fan, you will soon be able to create your own search engine. I didn't see if there's any cost with this. Some of the other Alexa services and Amazon in general have been charging for their services. I didn't see anything about that on this one, but basically you can specify either the type of data to look for or the sites to look for to search within. And this is not public yet at all. You can sign up for the public for the beta, but it's not a public beta, so there's no chance, no guarantee that you're going to get in. A couple Google things here. Google has added paid ads to their local maps. So basically doing AdSense advertising, there's a little icon on maps that look a little different than any other ones. And when you click on it, you see this ad. So right now, it only shows up on Google.com. So if you're on Google's website, you'll see these, not in the mashup. So it's just kind of bizarre to me because it seems like this would be a good way for Google to monetize all the mashups that are going on without a whole lot of side effects, because it's just a little icon. You have to click on it to actually see and get and be able to see the ad. It's not very intrusive, so it seems like this will probably be rolled out to some of the other things so that Google can start to monetize the stuff they're giving away for free right now. Google Base looks like it's finally starting to take a little bit of shape. When Google Base first launched, a lot of people wondered what exactly the plan for that was, and it looks like they are starting to take a little bit of shape with that, as they now have added custom search screens for real estate and auto. So for real estate, you can search by property type, location, price, bedrooms, bathrooms, etc. And for autos, you can search by make and model, the location, the price, and the color, and apparently the condition. So looks like Google Base is finally starting to take a little bit of shape and getting a little bit of vision from people over at Google. Odds and ends. As I said earlier, there is no grapevine this week. I found no major rumors worth reporting. So we'll just skip right to odds and ends, and this one's going to be a little bit bigger this week. So April Fool's was Saturday. I missed most of it because that was my daughter's birthday, and I'm not making that up. She was born on April 1st last year. She turned 1 this past Saturday, so we had a big celebration for her. But as a result, I did not get to stay up on a lot of the April Fool's roundup, and since it was on a Saturday, I don't think a lot of other people did. So I'm going to do a quick roundup of some of the best ones. Scoble said he's going to go to Google. Jeremy Zawadny said he's going to Google. And Matt Cutts of Google said he's going to Yahoo. And then I believe Jeremy and Matt supposedly switched instead of blogging on each other's blogs, so that was kind of cute. Amazon, who has been taking a lot of heat, as well as Scoble, for somewhat the way Amazon treated Robert Scoble and Shel Israel over their blogging conversation, Amazon said they're going to take it a little step further, and they're going to release all of the employees' IM addresses, so you'd be able to IM anybody with inside Amazon. No need for them to blog, you can just IM them. MSN had a search spoof. So you entered a name and then some personality characteristics, and you could see the results, and they were geared toward that person and the personality traits that you said about that person. So a couple good ones out there. I won't go into much more on that, but MSN has a search spoof out there. Microsoft said they're going to release Vista with a Linux kernel. This would explain the 60% rewrite, huh? Also said they were going to use OpenOffice as a base for Office 12. Opera had something called Opera Models, which was basically normal people doing normal things while using Opera. So a couple of them, a guy sitting on the can with his phone surfing the net. a guy ordering Viagra while he was in bed, and then Bill Gates. China bought Google. I'll leave that one at that. Google romance. So there are a couple of good lines. This was a pretty good one here. Google, their romance, which had contextual dating built in. So their best line was, post multiple profiles with a bulk upload file, you sleaze. And then the next best line, when you actually clicked to upload multiple profiles, because, you know, I'm all about uploading multiple profiles. It said, that's just great. Once again, the sheer volume of our users' thirst for our products has exceeded our capacity to quench it. Therefore, deja vu, this service is not available this time, at least not to you. So, at least Google has a sense of humor. Channel 9 had a bunch of stuff, so they had about 4 interviews on Channel 9 about some of the different pranks. I watched one of those, and there was a spot where it cut out and basically said, this is where he told a really funny story about a vice president. And they didn't show that. So, I wonder what that story actually was. Some of the videos are pretty good. They do have a couple of other things on coding for fun. So they had a shattering screensaver. So it looked like the monitor was actually shattering in the screensaver. Which reminded me of a couple of pranks that our college professors told us about. And they had 2 of them. Basically, first one, the screen would melt. So it appeared that whoever was using the computer, the screen would melt. And then the other one was, as you were typing, the letters 10 or 15 characters behind you would fall to the bottom of the screen and just pile up the bottom of the screen. So, knew about a couple of those types of things before. A couple of the other ones, autocorrect goes bad, so Microsoft Word's autocorrect you can set when you spell certain things to have it automatically change. And typically it's autocorrect, which I think you can figure out that you can use that for a little bit worse than that. And then lastly, a randomly opening CD tray. If you want to get more, Wikipedia has a huge listing of April Fool's jokes. Here's some of the best ones. Slashed out was pink. 2600 looked like Google. Woot had a 1999 Clear Drain instant drain opener. When you went to the page, the I want one button followed your mouse, so basically you had no choice but to click it. Yahoo buys all of Web 2.0, so instead of just buying up, they said they're in the process of buying Dog, which is a cross between Dig and a dog site, and then instead of doing that, they just went ahead and bought all of Web 2.0. And then ThinkGank was offering wireless extension cords. Bonehead of the week. This week it goes to Amazon, and no, not because of the way that Robert Scoble was treated and their whole view on blogging, which obviously I do not agree with. No, I'm going to give it to them because on Monday afternoon, they sent out an email, and this is the subject line. Placeholder for winning team wins the NCAA championship. So they went ahead and had a template all set up for the whoever won the national championship, which, by the way, was Florida. You'll need that information later. Florida won the championship Monday night. This email went out Monday afternoon saying placeholder for winning team won the NCAA championship. So they sent out this email a little early to sports fans to say, so-and-so won the national championship. Would you like to buy some of their stuff? Of course, they sent it out too early. And then when you went to the page, what did it say? UCLA wins. So not only did they send it out too long, too early, they put the wrong team. Now, obviously, at the time, they had no way of knowing who was going to win, but they picked UCLA, which they were wrong. So, this week, Amazon, it's just you had a blog to respond to the criticism. And therefore, this week, you are the bonehead of the week. And that's about going to do it for this week. It should be a little bit of a shorter show. We'll see when I piece it all together. But not a whole lot of news going on this week. See no rumors, which is kind of disappointing. But thanks for taking the time to download it. I appreciate it. And if you're a subscriber, thank you. If you're a long-term subscriber, I especially thank you. If you're a new subscriber, thank you too. If you want to subscribe, the information's on my blog, in the post, the show notes for this show. You can see exactly how to subscribe. And if you have any feedback, let me know weekly@rosscode.com or leave me a voicemail, 206-424-4729. And with that, I will be back next week at the regularly scheduled time. I am back on a somewhat routine schedule, so that should be good for Ross Code Weekly. And with that, have a good week.